Thank you, everyone, for an incredible week. And thank you, everyone, for this unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh to be here tonight to help us turn Thursday night into Leil Shishi. Very, very excited about this tonight. Our guest this evening is his first time of many times being here, Mirtz Hashem. I can already be presumptuous. I'd say that the first time that I rolled into Ish Kodesh, to the base medrash of the captain, to Rav Weinberger's base medrash, I was with Danny Gerber, a mutual friend, in 1995 or 1996. It was a fair 1996, kind of, 96. And I had only heard one tape from Weinberger, because that's the one tape that's found in Shalom in the library that somebody had left there. And I remember I walked in the door with Danny Gerber, and I was like waiting. I needed to see the person whose voice I heard. I was looking to find the person who was going to answer all the questions that I had, and then help me cultivate all the questions I didn't even realize that I needed to ask. And when I got there, I'm not even sure if Shmuel remembers, there were maybe half a dozen people sitting in Ish Kodesh in a small little house. It was across actually from Haskell. I didn't know anything about Haskell either. And remember Danny, like our mutual friend, schmoozing with this guy who was lit up and was saying Torahs and sharing ideas that blew my mind. A classmate of his from Hafter, our age, who was really one of the first Talmidim of Rav Weinberger. And to be a Mashpia, to be a Rebbe, to be someone who's an influencer, to be someone who's saying unbelievable teachings and spreading Torah far and wide on the internet and in places all over the world in all sorts of different institutions that can't really be defined by one specific way is one thing. To be that type of mashpia and pnimius and a rebbe and a machanech and a guide for so many of all ages and all religious affiliation is one thing, but to be that and at the same time be a chassid, be a talmid, is really something that I look up to very, very much. And it took me, I don't know, a couple decades longer than Shmuel to really be zocha to have that. I hope that I'm on that right path. And certainly listening to his Torahs online is definitely helping. I thank Dr. Benji for turning me on to the fact that there's daily Torah being cranked out that's really life-changing. I'm so grateful to Shmuel and to Bailey for coming tonight to be with us. Certain revelations happen at certain points in history because that's when Hashem knows that the world needs it. Where was the Baal Shem Tov 400 years ago? Where was the Arizal 700 years ago? The revelation that Hashem is opening the doors and the gates of God consciousness and teaching and inspiration that Hashem is opening up for us at certain times and places in history are very specific, are very mdugyak. So I'm very glad that this gateway of Rav Shmuel Braun coming to Camp Hask is happening now. I know that this is the right time. I know that Emirat Hashem, God willing, this is the first time of many of Emirat Hashem, and we're so grateful that they made the trip up tonight to be with us. So thank you very, very, very much, Bechava.
Thank you very much to Rav Judah. It's a big honor to be here. I mean, I knew about Camp Hask from when I was in Hafter. It was always in Hafter when I was in Hafter High School till 10th grade, and I always looked up to those that were part of Hask. But I never chapped how amazing and tremendous what goes on over here is. And I feel very humbled, to be honest. I feel like I'm in the presence of real tzaddikim. And, the avodas hakodesh that you do, I mean, the holy Baal Shem Tov came to the world to say that one doesn't have to be in a base medrash to be serving Hashem, but he expanded the domain of divine worship, that everything is avodas Hashem. But to be in a place like this for 7 weeks, where you're literally submerged in Avas Yisrael, which is Avas Hashem, mamish like in a sukkah. You know, the Simcha Baruch Hashem said, you go into a sukkah, it's the only mitzvah you could do with your whole goof. But Camp Pasch is a sukkah. It's a 7-week-long sukkah where everything you do here is mamish connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's a big kavod for me to be here. I appreciate Judah for inviting me. So we all know that we're about to enter that time, those 24 hours of Chas V'Shalom, Mashiach doesn't come, where we're going to be mourning, spending 26 hours supposed to be crying over the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of Hashem's home. And everyone, of course, is always bothered by, what does that really mean to me? I have my own stuff in my life that I have to deal with. So many terrible things going on in the world. I mean, there are, you know, children literally starving. People's hearts are broken. So much tzaras with shalom bayis, and we're really worried about a Beis HaMikdash, a house. What does that even mean, a house of Hashem? Why is that important? And everyone gives different answers. And to be honest, I think that many answers, you know, a lot of times the question is better than the answer. A lot of the answers are not so strong because they're answers that are in a book. And like you have over here in Hask, to be able to have Torah, to be able to have Hashem, it has to be something that's done with all of who you are. And therefore, to understand the Beis HaMikdash as something other than what we are is always going to be not a good answer. If the Beis HaMikdash is at any point in your psyche something other than what you are in the deepest way, then of course it's not going to be something speaking to us. Then we won't understand why we're crying about it. We could only cry about something that's who we are. A loss of who we are. Something. Nobody should know from it, but I'm sure many of us in this room have lost. And though it is better to have loved than lost than never to have loved at all, like Tennyson said, but Lamaisa, losing something that you love hurts. And that's what's going to make a person cry. And so therefore we have to understand, what does the Beis HaMikdash mean to me, us, as people? And b'chal, what could that mean that it's a house for Hashem? What does it mean that Hashem has a house? Of course there are many Kabbalistic answers and there are philosophical answers. But again, there has to be an answer that speaks to us as people. Not as Jews, but people. So to understand what it means that Hashem needs a house, really the only way to understand that is by understanding what it means that we need a house, that we need a home. Because everyone knows that one of the most fundamental and deepest desires that we all have is to have a home. And even before Dorothy taught us that there's no place like home, for centuries, even before she got to Oz, it was already known that there's no place like home. People always felt like they needed a home. And the Svarim teach that any human phenomena of our personality is be'etzim, is a reflection, an instantiation of how it is by Hashem. It's not just that the fact that we need a home is a good mashal, a good way of understanding what it means that Hashem needs a home. It's not just a good mashal. It's because that Hashem needs a home is why we need a home. Our innate, deep desire for a home is because Hashem needs a home. B'tzelem Elokim asa es ha'adam. Hashem created us in His image. And all of the way that our personality works is a reflection of how it is by Hashem. And so to understand that Hashem needs a home is by us understanding that we need a home because they're the same thing. B'etzel. But you know, there are really two things that people look for. It's very interesting. I always find it fascinating. There are two things I think that people are always searching for. And the more that, you know, the older I get, I'm over the hill. I turned 40 last summer. But after a while, I see there are people with white hair. So, you know, sorry. Sorry for throwing you under the bus. But the older I get, the more that I see. That's fascinating. That in all the books and in all the movies and in all the songs and in really in the unfinished symphony of humankind, There are two things that people are always searching for. Mamash. Two things. And based on experience and based on seeing the way the world is, very few percentage of people find these two things. Many people spend lifetimes searching for these two things. And that's number one, a home. And I'm sure I don't need to tell you that that includes a relationship that's a home. Because a home is not just a structure. When a person feels like home to me, that's when it's a real relationship. And the second thing people are looking for is themselves. The search for self. The search for a home and the search for self. People spend decades searching for themselves. There are whole books written about the search for self. There's so much angst in the world. People not being in touch with their real selves, not knowing their real selves. Any of you remember Woody Allen, except my other elder Yidden over here? So if you know Woody Allen from the Gevazina generation, so Woody Allen is a Jewish comedian. So he said that he went to a psychologist, and the psychologist said to him, after examining him, that I'm not in touch with my real self. I have to find my real self. So Woody Allen says, I spent 10 years going to therapy for 10 years, and finally my therapist said, now you found your real self. Here's the bill. And Woody Allen said, so I said to him, give it to the guy that I was 10 years ago. This is the real me. This isn't the same person. So people are searching for themselves, and people are searching for a home. But if you think a little deeper, you understand that it's not two separate searches. It's really the same thing. If you think about it a little deeper, those people that do feel comfortable with themselves, and dare I say, love themselves, are the ones that are always at home. They're the ones that are always at home. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you are geographically. There are a lot of people, nobody should know from it, that live in houses with families and never feel at home. And aren't seen, aren't understood. There are people that live in their parents' houses, their spouses' houses, and don't feel at home. And those people that are at home with themselves, that have a mind at home with themselves, a heart at home with themselves, they could always feel at home, no matter how far they end up going. Those that remember Huddle, far from the home I love, I'm at home. Remembers the Huddle reference. Huddle saying that you know, it doesn't matter where you are geographically, you might have to go to Siberia. But to be with yourself, where you really feel at home, and again, that could be in a relationship, it could be in an institution, but it means that makes you feel at home. And therefore we understand that we have to learn to, in order to know what it means to be at home, what it means to be at rest with ourselves, to be comfortable with ourselves. What does that actually mean? Why is it that people can spend 70, 80 years looking for it and never find it? Because they don't know what it is they're looking for. And if you don't know what you're looking for, you ain't going to find it. So we have to understand, what is this home, that self, where I could always be at home? What is that? What does it mean to be at home? And with Pnimius, we understand, listen carefully, that the self that I am, being at home, has another name to it, and that's Hashem. Hashem is that home, is that self. And Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's home, which we're now in the 9 days, we're about to have Tisha B'Av, Mashiach should come, is the destruction of Hashem's home, which is what makes it so hard for us to be at home, literally and in ourselves. So let's understand, what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, we could spend, 4 years talking about it, but let's just, the nekuda, the point. So there's one parak of Tehillim that I'd like to focus on now, which you're all familiar with. You know, so there's probably two parak of Tehillim that we could be assured that everyone knows of. Ashrei, that everyone knows, and parak Chav Gimel. Mizmul Adavar Hashem Roi Le'echsa. God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everyone's familiar with that by Shalosh Shudas. It's usually sung with eyes closed, and very often with the heartburn from the cholent still. So everyone knows that parak of Tehillim. And we understand that if we want to understand what's a home, and you open up that parak, and that's the parak that everyone knows is like the parak that's about a relationship with God, and what's the grand finale of the parak? How does that parak end? V'shafti beveis Hashem l'oirich yomim. I shall sit in the house of God for the length of days. That's how the parak ends. V'shafti beveis Hashem l'oirich yomim. I should sit in the house of Hashem l'oirich yomim my whole life. And to be honest with you, it always bothered me. I never really understood. What does it mean? We're asking, we're davening. Hashem, please allow me to sit in your house, l'oirich yom. Please let me sit in your house for my whole life. What is this house of Hashem we all want to spend the rest of our life sitting in? What is this house? What is this base Hashem that we all would really prefer to spend our entire lives in? So of course the Mefarshim, there are those that say it means the Beis HaMikdash, it means a shul, it means a yeshiva, where you learn Torah. But I'm asking you, honestly, anyone here would volunteer to spend the rest of your God-given days in a shul, always? I mean, you don't have to answer, it's a rhetorical question. And besides that, nobody could literally, v'shafti b'beis Hashem l'orech yomim, nobody could spend their whole day in a yeshiva. Even people that, you know, learning kolo their whole life, they have to take out the garbage sometimes. They go home. What does it mean, v'shafti b'beis Hashem l'orech yomim? I sit in Hashem's house. What is this beis Hashem that I want to sit my whole life? In beis HaMikdash? There has to be something deeper here. There has to be over here the yesod of what it means to have a home. That's the grand finale. God is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the grand finale is I want to sit in Hashem's house. I want to go to Hashem's house. I want to be in the Beis Hashem. What is this Beis Hashem? Question number two. If we go a little back in this parak of Tehillim, let's learn the parak a little further back. So you all remember, after we declare that God is our shepherd, we say, that Hashem guides me in green pastures. He directs me by still waters. This very tranquil sort of scenery. Hashem takes me through green pastures, and He guides me through still waters. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I never got why it's a yea, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I fear no evil. Meaning whether it's green pastures or still waters, which in simple English would be, you know, a 5-star hotel or a $50 motel room. My wife and I still stayed once, so we figured we'd be cheap. We stayed in a $50 motel room. There were literally bed bugs. I'm not doing that again. So, right, or in the valley of the shadow of the death. So think for a second. King David is saying, let's think, what's King David saying? David HaMelech is saying, Hashem, you're my shepherd. You take me to green pastures and still waters. You take me to hotels. You take me to nice trips. You take me to some good places in life. I have a good time. I go bowling. I go roller skating. I do all these fun things. I go to camp. I go to school. I have a good time. And I know that there are times in life that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Gates of Moses. And each one of us, all of us could say, if you had to write in your application form, what is your valley of the shadow of the death, we would all have what to fill in, right? It doesn't mean just the cemetery. All of us have those things in life which are the gates of Moses. Valley of the shadow of death doesn't just mean literally in your dogadach when somebody dies. It means those times when we die inside, when we feel like we're dying inside. And again, it could be in places where you're supposed to be feeling loved and appreciated, but it could be for you the valley of the shadow of death. A child that goes to, that lives with abusive parents. A person that has to deal with a terrible, terrible, terrible loss of somebody. That's the valley of the shadow of death. So let's see, what's David HaMelech saying? Hashem, I know you're always with me, whether it's green pastures, still waters, where the life is good, or it's the valley of the shadow of death, I know you're with me too. So David HaMelech is saying, Hashem, I know you're with me the good days and the bad days. And then what does he say at the end of the parak? How does he finish? But Hashem, I want to dwell in the Berveis Hashem Erech Yomim. So is David Melch changing his mind? Is he saying now he doesn't want to go to still waters anymore in green pastures? It's like he makes a 180 degree turn. Is David Melch saying Veshaf? Is he davening out Veshaf? And we're all saying these words. Are we now saying Veshafti Berveis Hashem Erech Yomim? Hashem, from now on I want to be in your house. I don't want to be in the green pastures and still waters. Am I copping out? I just said that I'm comfortable wherever I am. Green pastures or the valley of the shadow of the dead. And then I finish and say, you know what? V'shafti b'beis Hashem l'ayuch yomim. I want to sit in your house, Hashem. Am I canceling out the green pastures? Am I canceling out the experiences of life? The multiplicity and the versatility of life? Is David HaMelech saying, Hashem, I just want to live in your house and not have to deal with filing taxes? Obviously not. Obviously, sitting in Hashem's house is even when you're in green pastures, even when you're in still waters, and even when you're in the valley of the shadow of the death, you could still be sitting in Hashem's house, you could still be at home. Right? David HaMelech isn't changing his mind. David HaMelech is saying, Hashem, I know you're always there in green waters and still pastures. I know you're there good days and bad days. Days that I cry, days that I laugh. I know you're always good. You're always my shepherd. David HaMelech isn't, but David HaMelech is saying, oh, but I want one more thing. I don't want you just to be my shepherd, that you're always there no matter what situations I'm going through in life. I'm asking for something else. Until now it wasn't so much of a kosher. Now he's saying, and now I'm asking, V'shachti b'beis Hashem l'erich yamin. I want one more thing. I also want to be at home in Beis Hashem. What does that mean? So, about a year ago, about a year and a half maybe, somebody sent me, you know, that there's a, in today's day and age, there's, you know, used to be people had books of wisdom and, you know, classes. Today, there's a whole genre of bodies of wisdom called memes. Memes are like a whole new thing. Like now people like memes are like among the ummah. Like if it was in the time of Chazal, Ikadamri, Svara, Ibai Semikre, Ibai Semimim, it wouldn't be Kadamri Inshi, it would be Kadamri Meme. Right? Meme is a bechin of Kadamri Inshi. It's like, that's what, you know. So somebody sent me a meme a year and a half ago. And the meme said as follows. One time a little boy said to his father, Daddy, how big is God? How big is God really? So the father pointed up to an airplane, you know, 35,000 feet up, and said, as big as that airplane. How big is an airplane? So the boy looked and he said, wow, the airplane is really, really small. It's tiny. Is that how big God is? So the father said, wait one second. Took him to the car, took him to an airport, pulled up right to a hangar, stood right in front of a 747 jet, and said, how big is an airplane? And the boy's like, wow, an airplane is huge. So the father said, that's how big God is. It depends how close you are. Just like an airplane, how big is it? Depends how close you are to it. So too with Hashem. How big is Hashem? How big of a place does he take up? How big is he in your life? Depends how close you are to him. Which is a beautiful idea. Mamash, a beautiful idea. You know, there's a famous Bart that people say, don't tell Hashem, or don't only tell Hashem, how big your tzaras are. Don't only tell Hashem how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big Hashem is. So it's a beautiful idea. Because when you have an understanding of Hashem's bigness, so to speak, it means something. It makes you feel more important. That you connect to that. Ad kan lashon hamim. This was the meme. But I think that there's another level, there's another thing, a deeper thing, that the meme left out, which I think is probably the most important thing. And that is, this could be far from a plane when it's 30,000 feet up, there could be a plane right in front of you, but then there could be when you're inside the plane. When you're inside the plane. for a second, if I were to take someone that had never been inside a plane before, if there's anyone still like that, and you blindfold him, and you take him onto a plane, and you take off the blindfold, and then you'd say to them, "Where are you?" So they'll say, "I don't know, I'm some really uncomfortable, small little weird room." And you say, "No, you're in an airplane." "Do you know what an airplane looks like?" If this person had never seen a plane, would they know what the airplane looks like if they were just inside it? No. That's why we don't know what Hashem looks like. The reason we don't see Hashem is the same reason when you're inside an airplane, you don't see the airplane. Picture that in your head for a moment. Meditate on that a bit. The reason we don't see Hashem is the same reason that when you're in an airplane, you can't see what an airplane looks like. Because you're in it. You don't have the bird's eye global view of it. But I want to take you a step deeper for a second. And let's meditate a little deeper for a second. This person that's now inside the airplane, what would you say? Are they seeing the airplane or are they not seeing the airplane? So first, the Chari would say they're not seeing the airplane. Right? Do you agree? Are they not seeing the airplane or is the person seeing the airplane? They're looking around, they're seeing the overhead bins and these really uncomfortable chairs and the armrests that always get stuck, at least for me. Obviously, I have to lose some weight. Right? Are they seeing the airplane or are they not seeing the airplane? So if you think a little deeper, of course they're seeing the airplane. Everything that they're looking at is the airplane. The overhead bin is the airplane. The armrest is the airplane. That little annoying table that you have to turn the chukchuk over there is part of the airplane. So if I were to ask you ever, have you ever seen God? Have you ever seen Hashem? Anything you're looking at, you're always seeing Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov said in Tzavasa Ribash, bear in mind that whatever you're looking at, you're seeing the Shekhinah. You don't see it as God, just like a person in the airplane doesn't see the airplane, the whole thing. But anything the person is looking at is the airplane. Whether you're sitting in this torturous economy chair, eating this nasty food, wrestling with that tinfoil plastic to try to get it open without splattering your white shirt, or you're sitting in business class, lounging out, having a delicious meal, every part of it is the airplane. Ein Eino Vado, nothing exists other than Hashem. Everything you're always looking at is part of Hashem. You're always within Hashem. Always. Always you're within Hashem. We just have to know that we're in the airplane. And what David HaMelech is saying is as follows. Listen carefully. Chassidus explains that there's having emunah in Hashem. And then there's having das in Hashem. There's having emunah, believing there's a God. When you believe there's a God, it's like the airplane when it's in the sky. When you have emunah, when you just believe in a God, then Hashem is like that airplane in the sky. You believe there's a God. You believe there's a God. But at that point, He's not yet your shepherd. He doesn't lead you through the green pastures and the still waters. When a person just has emunah, yeah, I believe there's God. But it's not a part of one's daily life, then the airplane's up in the sky, Hashem is small, so to speak, for you. You're not yancheini b'maglei tzedek. You're not led through the green pastures, and you're not ki'ate imodi. Then there's what's called das. Das is what in English today is called awareness, consciousness. Das means you're conscious and you're very much aware of God. Hashem becomes your shepherd. That's what David HaMelech is talking about in the beginning of the parak. Then you're standing in front of the airplane. Das means Hashem is right in front of you. Right in front of you. Hashem is mamash right in front of you. Like the airplane. Huge. And when Hashem is right in front of you, then no matter whether you're in the green pastures or in the valley of the shadow of the death, when Hashem is right in front of you, you see how big Hashem is, then you know that you have a shepherd. Then you know you have a shoulder to cry on all the time, that you're never alone. But then there's something even higher than das. See, in davening, emun is before we start davening. Maidani. Then the whole pasuk of the Zimmer and Kriya Shema is about having das, making Hashem feel closer to us. But then you come to Shemayna Esrei. There's something even higher than das. You know what that's called? V'shafti beveis Hashem la'orech yomim. Shemayna Esrei is that time of the day where we come into a deeper thing than just das. It's called sitting in the house of God. You know what the house of God is? It's the knowledge that God is our house. Hashem is our home. V'shafti beveis Hashem la'orech yomim is not a place. It's a state of reality. It's what's called in Chassidus Achdus Hashem. Even higher than faith in emuna and das is yichud, achdus. When you feel you're literally one with Hashem. When you know that when you're in the green pastures or the valley of the shadow of the death, not only do you know it's that Hashem is here in front of you, you know you're in Hashem. You're within Hashem all the time. You know, personally, for me it was very geschmack. When you see something that you didn't hear it from someone else, so to speak, but you see something and like it hit you. And I'll never forget, it was a couple of years ago, I was davening, it was a Monday or Thursday, and by Tachnun, a Monday and Thursday, you know, one of those days when you roll off Monday, Thursday, I have to say the whole long Tachnun. It's actually very beautiful, those pages of the long Monday, Thursday Tachnun. But it's incredible how much Jews like don't want to say Tachnun, you know? It's like a Jew, the day, oh, you don't have to say Tachnun today, it's like a Yomtiv, like, oh, Baruch Hashem, no Tachnun. You have like 50,000 other pages, but oh, no Tachnun, Baruch Hashem. People are so excited, no Tachnun, Baruch Hashem. By the way, I remember when I was learning in Yerushalayim, and I was learning in Brisk, I used to daven in the Satmar Beis Medrash in Mei Sharim, and there'd be one guy that would come in every day, a Kanoi, one of these really Yerushalmis, and he would come in and he'd say, no Tachnun today, it's the Yerzit of Rabbi Amram Bloy. If anyone knows, Rabbi Amram Bloy was from the big Kanoim in Yerushalayim. He was the ones that fought in the 50s, you know, against the government, when the government was fighting against religion. So Rabbi Amram Bloy would be, like, when the movie theater was open Friday night, he would put his head in the you know, the box office, and they would beat him up, and he would just, until he would start bleeding, you know, he was one of those real fighters. So a guy ran into, today's the Yerzit of Rabbi Amram Bloy, no Tachnun. And I noticed, like, the following day, today's the Yerzit of Rabbi Amram Bloy, no Tachnun. And after like 3 or 4 days, I'm like, did he mix it up? So they told me, no, every day he comes in, because Rabbi Amram Bloy was Moshe Nefesh every day, so every day is his Yerzit, you know. So no Tachnun, because Rabbi Amram Bloy was Moshe Nefesh. Jews love not saying Tachnun. I don't know, it's like a thing. So, but one time I was a Monday, Thursday, and I decided I would actually pay attention to what the words mean. And I remember seeing there were words over there. It's in Nusach Sfar. I don't know if there's still some Ashkenaz people out there. But in it says that before we say the Yigil Midas, I noticed that it says the following words. And actually, it's in Slichas. So it's coming up, right around the bend. I hate to tell you, Slichas is there, almost there. U'bitzel knafecha nechse v'lisloinam k'yoyim v'yered Hashem be'onam. You remember those words? It's in Tzlich, it's in the Tachnun, it's also in Tzliches. Listen to the words. U'betzel k'nafecha nechse v'nisloinam. In such beautiful words. In the shade of your wings, God. Tzel k'nafecha. In the shade of your wings, nechse v'nisloinam. I will take refuge and I will rest. Kiyoim, like on the day of Vayered Hashem be'onam. When God came down with the cloud. Anyone remember where it says Vayered Hashem Ba'anam? Where does it say it? No? Huh? Where does it say Vayered Hashem Ba'anam? Huh? Yeah, Kitisa. Yeah, by Har Sinai, when Hashem gave Yigal Midas Harachem. Yeah? So listen to the words. Think for a second. Listen to the words. Hashem, may I rest and may I take refuge. Hashem, may I rest and may I take refuge in the shade of your wings. Kiyoim, like the day of Vayered Hashem Bonam, when you came down on Har Sinai. And all of a sudden I stopped myself and I said, whoa, one second. That means that in the Siddur it says that today, any day, I could take refuge, nechsev el isloina. I could take refuge and I could rest in God's wings, like on the day that Hashem came down at Sinai. Ki yom vayered Hashem ba'onam. Just like in the day of Matan Torah, the same way we could take refuge in Hashem's wings. I could rest. How is that possible? Of course it's possible. You know why it's possible? Because Hashem is here just like He was in Har Sinai, right now in this room. Where was Hashem more? In Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies of the Beis HaMikdash, or right now over here? Or in your bunk? Or in Utah? He's everywhere the same. You know why? Because we're all always in the airplane. We're always within Hashem. We're always within Hashem. Ki yoyim vayered Hashem ba'ana. We're always within God. Like that day, we could always be at home in Hashem. We could always be at home in Hashem. Now, if that means, if I'm saying we could always be at home with in Hashem, I could always take refuge and I could rest in Hashem. By definition, that means that I don't have to be doing anything particular. Listen carefully, because this is very important now. Listen very carefully. If I could always, no matter what, take refuge, that's what Chazal are saying, they put in the Siddur, I could always be taking refuge and resting in Hashem, and I could always be resting in Hashem like the day that Hashem came down from a cloud. That means, by definition, I don't have to be doing anything special. Right? It doesn't say only when I'm doing mitzvahs, only when I'm learning Torah, always. Which, by the way, is why the Misnagdim were very upset at the Baal Shem Tov. I mean, it's in the Siddur. But the Baal Shem Tov came to the world to scream to everyone. The Baal Shem Tov came and screamed at Klal Yisrael, every single Jew, every single person, not just Jews, are always in the airplane. You're always in God. Always. And you don't need to be doing anything specific. And that's what it means to be at home in Hashem. So now I ask you, based on that, that you don't have to, you know, I don't have to be anything doing specific, because it's just a metaphysical fact. You're always in God, because God is everywhere. You're in the airplane. All you have to do is rest in that essential knowledge. Rest and take comfort in that. That's what it means to be at home in Hashem. And so now I ask you, what does it mean to be at home in yourself? Based on this understanding of what it means to be at home in Hashem, which means you don't have to be doing anything specific. Just rest. And take refuge in that fact that Hashem is being, you're always in God. Then based on that, we understand, what does it mean to be at home in yourself? Being at home means not having to do anything special. That's what a home is. Listen carefully. The definition of a home is where you never have to do anything special. You could just be. You don't need to impress anyone. You don't need to do anything specific. You don't have to calculate what you're going to do if you need to scratch your nose. You know, you could do whatever you want. That's what a home is, right? The reason so many people can't find themselves and don't love themselves is because they think you need to do something. How will I know what to do? Who to become in order to be what I'm supposed to be? If you're looking for that, you'll never be at home in yourself. Because being at home in yourself means realizing you don't have to ever do anything to be special, to be happy with who you are. The opposite, once in a while, just sit there and love yourself, not for any because. If there's a because, it's not home. If there's a person that loves you only because of X, that relationship is not your home. If there are parents that make their kids feel that they're only worthwhile if because of X, those are not good parents. If there's a Rebbe in yeshiva or a teacher that makes students feel that they're only good Jews if because of X, then that person doesn't deserve to be a teacher, shouldn't be a Rebbe. Being at home with yourself means resting in who you are as is. No hispashtus, no giluye hanefesh, Don't feel you have to reveal something of your soul. Don't feel like you have to act, thought, and speech in a, speak in a certain way in order to appreciate yourself. Resting in oneself and resting in Hashem is the same thing. It's just being aware of ultimate reality that you're always in God, and those moments when you could be aware of that, and that's who you are essentially. Those moments when you could just stop, that's what Shmoneh Esrei really is. It's not what... There are people that spend so much time, oh, I want to make my davening better, let me learn another 50,000 books about another vart of what the words mean. No! That's not davening. Davening is resting in Hashem. The words are mamish, you know, not priority. There's step six. There's many things before you know what the words mean. It's just resting, being, just being with Hashem. There are moments in davening, just be with Hashem, don't say anything. Once in a while when you daven, stop saying anything. Close your eyes. And feel that you're resting and you're in the airplane. You're in Hashem, just like in Har Sinai. Because we're always in the airplane, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. You don't need to do anything. And now let's learn a Torah from Rabbi Nachman. In the Kutei Maran, in the first Torah in Tinyona, Rabbi Nachman says an unbelievable thing. We all know the famous saying of Chazal, which I wish more Jews would have plastered on their refrigerators. Al todin es chavercha ad shetagil im koimoi. Al todin es chavercha, don't judge another person until you reach their place, right? Which means don't be judgmental. When people ever ask me if I have allergies, I always say I'm only allergic to one thing, judgmental people. That's like, that by me makes me echolic. Who are you to judge another person? And Rabbi Nachman actually says there, shocking, Rabbi Nachman says, every time you say, and you should think about this, this is what it means to be frum, not what color your shirt is. Rabbi Nachman says, every time you sit with another person, it's a bechin of Rosh Hashanah. You know that? Rabbi Nachman says that. Rabbi Nachman says, every time you sit with somebody, it's Rosh Hashanah. You know why? Because you're right away automatically in your head judging them. And Rav Nachman says that's it. This is the first, look it up, it's the first Torah in Tinyana. Rav Nachman says you have to be so careful. It's Mamash Bechina Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Nachman says, and L'chayr, I'll tell you this, Chaver, just to give him koimoy. I'm stuck over here. It's Rosh Hashanah, but I can't judge another person and I'll just give him koimoy. So Rav Nachman says, what do I have to do in my head? What should I say in my head if I'm with another person? I'm no one to judge. Actively say in your head, I cannot judge another person. Who am I? Only Hashem can judge that person. I can't judge. Nachman says, you have to work on not judging. You have to work on, I am not going to judge this person. And Rabbi Nachman says, listen carefully. Rabbi Nachman says, what's the pshat? What's the pshat of the Lashon of Chazal? Don't judge another person until, how would you translate it? Until you reach their place. Now that's a weird, Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman says the word weird, Rav Nachman says that's a strange way. What does it mean, don't judge another person? We would say, don't judge another person until you've had the same circumstances as them, as they. Don't judge another person until you're aware of their life story. Don't judge another person until you know the whole story. What is tagil mekoyma? Acha tagil mekoyma, to their place. So listen carefully, says Rav Nachman. If I were to ask you, what we've been learning until now tonight, that Hashem is the airplane, and we're always within Hashem. What name of God do you all know that gives over this idea that Hashem is the base Hashem, that Hashem is our home? What's the name of Hashem that we're always within God? Hamakom. What's Hashem is known as Hamakom. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Why is Hashem known as Hamakom? Why is He known as Hamakom? Because Hu Mekoyim Shalom. He's the place. He's the place of the world. Says Rav Nachman, Ad Shatagila Mekoyim. You know why only Hashem could judge someone else? Because Hashem is our home where we are. Hashem is Mekoymoy. You could only know another person if you're in their mind, if you're in their body, their consciousness, their whole experience. Atsha Tagila Mekoymoy doesn't just mean until you know their story. You have to be in the place of that person. What does that person feel? What's the person's story? What's the reasons they acted the way they acted? Only Hashem knows that, because Hashem is Mekoymoy. Hashem is Mekoymoy Shel Olam. Al Tadin Es Chaverch Ad Shetigila Mekoymoy. Don't judge a person until you're that person, which you never will be. Therefore you have to work on not judging them. Yet don't make a Rosh Hashanah. Only Hashem is Mekoymoy Shel Olam. Who experiences what that person experiences? And that's an unbelievable thing. It means Hashem is our makom. Hashem is Mekoymoy. He is our place. He knows what we feel. He knows what we think. He knows what we've been through. He knows exactly our experience. He's Mekoymoy. He's our place. And then Reb Nachman says the following words. I want to quote to you the exact words. V'kol echad ve'echad yesh lo makom etzlo yizbarach. Listen how beautiful. V'kol echad ve'echad yesh lo makom etzlo yizbarach. Every one of us has a place in God. V'kol echad ve'echad yesh lo makom etzlo yizbarach. We all have a place in Hashem. We're all part of that airplane. We're not just in the airplane, we're part of the airplane. We're at home within Hashem. We could rest with Zelkanafecha. We could rest in Hashem's wings all the time. Because we're part of Hashem. Hashem could judge us. Hashem knows us because He's in our kishkas, because He's in our hearts and minds. He is our place, and we have a place in Him. And you understand now what it means that God needs a home. What does it mean that Hashem needs a home? What does it mean Hashem needs a home? Hashem needs a home the same way we need a home. Hashem wants to rest and be in someone. Like we rest and take refuge by being in Hashem, by just being as is, Hashem wants to take rest and refuge by being in us. And that's by us making God Elokeinu, our God. And you know how you do that? Just like the way to be at home and love yourself is by stopping to put conditions and making up the cause, but rather just accept loving yourself without a cause, just for who you are, when you're not extending yourself or doing anything. Hashem wants us to love Him, not just because He gives us stuff. You could become a home from Hashem. What does it mean that you become v'shachanti v'toicham? It means that I have God in me, not just because He gives me money, not just to native parnasa. When people worship Hashem because I'm going to get stuff, then Hashem's also not at home. To become a person that becomes, that Hashem is in home in you, is where Hashem could be. Of course we have to daven, we have to ask Hashem for what we need, etc. But don't make your relationship with God with a because. That's what it means that Hashem is at home. There's no because. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was the relationship of Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem, where there were no longer any becauses. You know why we went up to Beis HaMikdash? Just to see Hashem. Hashem just wanted to be seen without a because. You didn't go to Beis HaMikdash because you needed to get crops and money and stuff. You could do that at home. It was to just be with Hashem. It was just to be with Hashem. We have to train ourselves. The Baal Shem Tov Chassidus wants us to just train ourselves to just sometimes be with Hashem. Just close your eyes and don't say words, don't daven, just don't do mitzvah, don't do anything. Just close your eyes and be. Be with yourself, be with Hashem, and know that these two things are the same. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of Jerusalem, is the reason it's so hard for all of us to be at rest in ourselves and in Hashem. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is the fact that we're thrown, the diaspora, is not just that we're physically thrown all over the world. It's that our soul is thrown all over the world. It's that we're tempted by a million things, that we're thrown all over the place. We think we need to accomplish that, and in order for me to be worth something, I have to do that, and I have to wear this, and I have to dress like this, and I have to post this, and I have to post this on Instagram, and I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to impress this person. And this pizur hanefesh, this being thrown all over the place, that's the real diaspora. And that's not being at home. Churban Beis HaMikdash is just being at rest with ourselves and with Hashem. I know it's late. I just want to finish with a quick story. The Holy Mizritch HaMagid. I'm sure you all know the Holy Mizritch HaMagid. It's the Baal Shem Tov's main Talmud, the one that continued the Chassidic movement after the Baal Shem Tov. So one time, there was a friend of the Mizritch HaMagid, came to Mizritch after Doiv Ber, he already became Rebbe, and an old childhood friend, his old Chavrusa from his hometown, once came to Mizritch to visit. Now this Jew had grew up with the Magid, and they were Chavrusas together, they learned Kabbalah together, they were, you know, they learned very well together, until the Magid then went to the Baal Shem. And this Jew came to Mizritch to see his old friend, Doiv Ber, and he goes and they say that the Magid is davening. He's davening. So the Jew figured, how long is it going to take him to daven? A half hour, 45 minutes, an hour. An hour passes, 2 hours, 3 hours. After 3 hours he goes, where's the Rebbe? They say he's still davening. And the Jew goes in the Beis HaMikdash and he sees that the Magid is sitting there still davening. 3 hours later, like, and it would take him 4, 5, 6 hours to daven sometimes. And after he finished davening, so this Yid went over to the Magid, and they hugged each other, oh, Shalom Aleichem, good to see you again. And they caught up in old times, you know, back then you didn't see a person for like 15 years, 20 years. And finally this Jew said to the Magid, I have to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. We grew up together, we learned Kabbalah together, and I also, when I daven, I use Kavanas HaRizal, I have the special Kavanas. So it takes me to daven an hour and a half. What took you 5 hours to daven? I also have the kavanas. I also think about the upper worlds. I also think about the Olam HaSel Yoyim. I also think about the Srafim and the Yifan. And I think I have those kavanas also. It takes me an hour and a half. What took you 5 hours? So the Mizritch HaMagid said, I want to answer you. But in the Jewish manner, what's the way a Jew answers a question? With another question. He said, what do you do for a living? So the Jew says, listen, the Emma says, I sit and learn all day. My wife, she should be well. She's maskim, she agrees that she runs the store. She sells wood. We sell wood. She runs the store. And I can sit and learn all day. But once a year, for 2 months, I have to go to Leipzig to buy the wood. He would travel for 2 months. In those days, it would take a long time. It would take weeks to get there. Then go to the marketplace, buy the wood, make the deals, hire people, wagons to schlep it back. So for 2 months, I travel to get the wood. And for the other 8 months, 10 months, my wife runs the store. So the market says, let me ask you a question. Why does it take you 2 months to buy wood? So he explains, I have to plan. I have to travel there for a couple of weeks, stay over a different night. Go to the market, get the wood, pack it up, etc. So the Magid said to him, let me ask, why don't you just sit at home, close your eyes, and think about going to Leipzig. Just think about it. Think about the trip to Leipzig. Think about going to the fair. Think about buying the wood. Think about bringing it back. So the Jew started laughing. He said, Rebbe, I know what you're talking about. I thought you were smart. In order to be able to sell wood, Medav Zayn Dorten. You have to actually be there. It's not enough to think about it. You have to actually be there. So the Mizritch HaMagid said, that's the difference between when you daven and when I daven. When I daven, I'm not just thinking about the upper worlds. I actually have to be there. Medav Zayn Dorten. You have to actually be there in the upper worlds with Hashem. Now what does that story mean for people like us? The Mizritch HaMagid was there, he was there in the upper world. He was there with Hashem. But for people like us, you know what it means? The Magid didn't travel anywhere. He didn't go anywhere geographically. Zayin Dorten just means that knowing that Hashem is not another place, and he's not just in my mind. Zayin Dorten is something we all could do. We could all be there. It just means when you daven, be at home in Hashem. Hashem isn't just something in your mind. It's not just something you think about. Rest in the knowledge that you're always in Hashem. Allow Hashem to rest in you by sometimes just saying, Hashem, I want you in me, without any reason, not because you need to do anything. Zaydar, to just be there. Be there with Hashem. Upper worlds is not another place. It's just a consciousness. It's v'shafti b'beis Hashem l'orech yomim. It's sitting in Hashem, in the house that is Hashem. Hashem is our home. Hashem is our home. And the more that we know that, the more that we make Hashem at home in us, and that is what's going to bring the ultimate home of Hashem, the basis of Mikdash B'Zeichot B'Meir B'Meinu. Amen. So sorry for going over time.